Plus sword.
Yeah, we're gonna go ahead and talk order. What did you vote?
Sure. Chairman Brown, Commissioner Preston, Commissioner Walfeld,
Present.
Commissioner Lowe's, Commissioner Graham,
Present.
Commissioner Chaplunker, and Commissioner Bringle.
Present.
Good. Nice. Doesn't look like there's any. Oh, is there any
No.
public comments? Let's go. I see we have two meeting minutes here. Matt, I think we did the.
The July ones were already approved. I just needed your signature.
Oh, okay. Okay. Got it.
But we're only looking to approve September 4th tonight.
Got it. Anyone have any issues or get a motion to approve?
So,
Second.
second.
All in favor? Sweet. Rolling right along. Gonna be early for soccer. Maybe not. Maybe not. We know
Don't
we
say
have
it, don't say it.
no, because I know we have something to talk about. And today probably is. We'll see what you guys think. Discussion regarding the TIF small business incentive programs.
You want me to start?
Yeah, Jessica, why don't you?
So I'm sorry, I missed last month's meeting, but what I was able to pick up from the recordings and from Administrator Walsh was that you all had roughly some guidelines about what we wanted, what you wanted to put into a facade grant program. And there were a lot of questions. How much are we going to do? What is it going to cover? What businesses qualify? What don't? So I put together the memo with the seven categories, if you will, that kind of go into those questions that would make up that particular category on the application. And so I think that these are, first of all, simply suggestions. I was not trying to impress or intimidate or motivate anyone in any direction. But these are just some things that I think are important to consider in the program. And so what I wanted to do is spend some time literally getting nitpicky and let's design this program. It's up to you if we want to do that tonight or if we want to kind of, 10,000 foot discuss this evening and then we come back in November and take a look at it again or go into further detail once you have a little bit more time to review. In your board packets tonight, I provided a spreadsheet with a number of programs that are available in neighboring communities, and it really runs the gamut of what is it covers, how much is available, the size of the business it covers. And then I gave you two applications and our program documents from two other communities that were then printed in the substance of your packet. So hopefully you have some good reading material if you want to tackle this at another date that might be a little bit more freedom for that. So it's kind of up to the group. Yes.
Yep. And we do have a pretty wide agenda. So maybe we just go through the bullet, the number points, and whether or not we come to a decision, maybe we can flush some of it out since we're wide otherwise.
Okay. If you want to start that, let me just. I have the items that I'll be putting on the screen, so hold on just a second.
While you're doing that, when it. Ooh. Ooh.
No.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Can you talk again? Yes. Oh.
With the microphone on.
Okay. Sorry. Sorry.
You're good. Take your time.
Try again.
Hello.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll leave that TV alone. That's just how it wants to be.
Okay.
Can you guys all see the side screens? Yeah. Okay.
So these are literally the comments from your packet. I've just spaced them out a little bit so I can take notes, and then you guys can see what we're talking about, and hopefully I can capture everything. So Commissioner Lode, your question was about home-based businesses. Hi, can we help you? For what? Pick up that black phone in the lobby and call for a police officer, and they will come here and help you get that.
So goals and objectives.
Just being super explicit about who it applies to and who it does not. So if it doesn't apply to home-based business, we probably just need to say that just to cover our bases, that so there aren't any exceptions.
Yeah.
And then like in this first one, it says commercial areas. Do we have to be really specific and say like commercial areas as like where are they and how are they zoned, and just boxing ourselves in so it's super clear.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah.
No, at this point, Administrator Walsh and I have not seen something like this that's been designed in the past or proposed in the past. So no home-based.
Why don't we do it? Those are really good. Why don't we just do it one number at a time? I can't see up here. I'm looking at the packet. I'm old. Oh, yeah, there we go. Okay.
That help.
So goals and objectives, I think you laid out pretty well here. I off the top of my head, I looked at it. There's nothing really that I would add.
I believe that the intention, there's only TIF districts in North Avenue and Madison, so it would only apply to C1 and C3.
Lake Street doesn't exist.
Lake Street doesn't have a TIF district. So part of this program was the TIF improvement.
Well, what's
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think you could say no home-based businesses, non-commercial zone.
I think you also have to watch on Madison Street.
That should cover it, but don't cover it.
Yes, so the funding for this would come from just the North Avenue and the Madison Street TIF districts, and one could not borrow from the other, or we couldn't take Madison Street TIF funds and put it in the town center.
If you wrote just limited to C1 and C2.
On Madison Street, the village owns that one property, that one home that is in one house, one section north of Madison. That I don't believe that's in the TIF.
So the other intention was for this to be for small businesses, which we'll also need to define. And so technically development of Madison Street, the vacant Madison Street property, would not be included. And the other piece that I believe I heard in the last meeting was it would be for existing businesses, not for or existing structures. It would not be for the vacant land. We could earmark it for a new business moving into an existing structure that needs the facade improvement.
TIF facade programs for
existing. Right.
A TIF could be what? Developed. Well,
defined required to be improved.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Facades are required.
Right.
But yes.
Well, I mean, not to, if there were, there was, I mean, who's going to do new construction right now to do a small business? So it's sort of a moot point, but someone were to do a freestanding place and that was part of their overall construction costs. I'm not advocating that it would be one way or the other, but that would be, that would not, you know.
New construction. Right? Can you tie these together, historic integrity?
Yeah.
This is a very side program. You could say,
yeah.
Yeah.
Just asking the question. Does not cover. Right. Not the facade program. Yeah.
This would not modify the terms of the TIF.
At sorry. All.
Yeah. Correct.
Primary objective. Facade program.
Mm-hmm. So.
All right. So why don't we tackle this one number at a time? Mm-hmm. Right. Just for the sake mm-hmm. of, you know.
Goals and objectives.
Goals and objectives. You know, maybe, I guess, invite outside businesses to join might be one thing I would say, but it's sort of caught up in their support local businesses, encourage private investment. I mean, it's nitpicking. I don't see any added things that really need to be added there. But anyone else?
I would say under enhanced visual appeal, improve the aesthetics of existing.
The other thing that was not brought up before was private investment. Spur private investment by offering matching grants or low interest loans. Now, then we get into a whole different realm.
I would not do low interest loans. Sorry. What do people think about it? We've done that. I did that for Oak Park for a little bit. They're OPDC. You have to manage them. I mean, it's a pain. And you have to approve them. You need a committee. There's all kinds of like actual things that it opens up a huge can of worms. Like you'd almost need a whole one of these to manage just that. And it would cause other issues as well.
Collections and interest. And
yeah. There's all, how do you calculate? There's all kinds of things that.
Well, then why don't we just.
Yeah.
So the other part,
I don't
want to
like
matching grants. Some of these programs that I gave you as examples were 50-50 programs. Some of them were straight up, they funded it entirely and they gave you $50,000, period, the end. Some of them were give us the receipts and then we'll reimburse you up to $75,000. So I didn't want to eliminate this entirely because of that matching grant portion, depending on how we wanted to structure it, which might be another question that's kind of. Some of this snowballed off of itself, so we have to get the conversation going before we know what we can eliminate further up. So, yes, that is part of the financial report every month. But when Matt and I discussed this, we didn't want to make the program dependent on the balance because the balance of the TIF funds fluctuates. First of all, it is a, generally speaking, it's a calculation of the valuation of the property. So it changes just because there was $75,000 put into the TIF last year doesn't mean there's $75,000 that's going to guarantee to be put in next year. Also, those funds, in our case, we don't use it for that much. Madison Street used a lot of the TIF funds to pay for or intended to pay for the demolition. There was a grant for that, so it didn't. But sometimes the balance, it accumulates more than in other areas. So we didn't want it to be dependent upon the balance. So I don't want to tell you yet.
if it's public knowledge.
It is public knowledge. You can go find it. But we wanted to kind of have this conversation in without knowing that there's X amount of dollars there because I don't want it to influence how the process is built. As we get a little bit closer, we'll look at those numbers a little bit better.
Limits on the percentage of TIF.
That's probably realistic. Right. The TIF does have to pay for its own. I think there's a portion of the audit that it has to pay for, but it's like $700. Like, it's not a lot.
No, but that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the number is, that's.
That's a great idea.
When I opened my business at Park, we received money. Mm-hmm. It was a matching grant. Unfortunately, it came out for the amount, but it was capped. So it was, and we used it for the signage and some facade improvement. But it was also very attractive
mm-hmm.
for us as a small business owner opening a new business. It was great,
Totally.
Matching is nice too, because
yeah, they got some skin in the game, right? Totally.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of logistics, I'm pretty sure that's the way they did it in Oak Park, but I mean, we're jumping around a little bit, but I would definitely say collect the receipts. I don't know if you need a contractor statement or you're going through title. Ideally, you'd get that, so you can understand exactly. I would argue that you'd want to be pretty conservative on how well you wrap this up and make sure that you have all the information in front of you. I spent this amount, and so-and-so gives you an invoice for that amount. You know what I mean? That's, we don't know who's going to try to take advantage of it, things like that. I would definitely argue. Did you have to go through title to get your money, or was it?
No, I don't recall, honestly, the process, but I think it'd be easy enough just to show, hey, here's the estimate that we received, and here's the check that we've already paid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, with best intentions, that's the way it worked for you, but how do we prove that they paid it, are going to pay it?
No, we again, I was saying we show proof of payment, for that first half.
Would you mind pulling your mic a little closer?
Yeah.
Thanks. So what we do in some other programs that the village currently runs, like the lead reimbursement program, we require that the resident pay for the improvements. They have to have a contractor who's familiar with the lead program, so they know exactly what work needs to get done. And then we have the village inspector go out and inspect the work. And when the inspector says, yes, this has been done to our standards, then we reimburse the resident. So the contractor has already gotten his 100% and he's gone. It's the resident who's out the money because they fronted it, if you will.
I understand it. It depends on how much we're talking about here with these grants. I mean, like, if we're talking $5,000-$10,000, that could probably just be run through with invoices and things like that. If we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, which I don't know. I know in Chicago, it's a $250 cap, I think, on these that they do or something.
The number that comes to me, if I remember, it was $7,500.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, $7,500 seems you could probably do some invoices.
$7,000 on a sign. Yeah, I don't even know if we spent it all.
And you probably know. You could probably have the contractor, who's ever the inspecting architect for the city that's going out there and can say, okay, this is, again, $150,000, you can move some money in there. There can be a lot of allowances.
But as Jessica said, if you set it up where the contractor's already paid,
mm-hmm.
and you could ask for, you can send somebody out there to confirm that the work is done. You can ask the contractor to sign a statement that the work is done and they've been paid. This doesn't seem that it'd be that difficult to verify.
No, I'm just... There's also instances where contractors will just say, tell me $10,000 on a $5,000 job.
Sign this.
And sign this. Fine, though. But he's willing to sign it. That was $10,000. What does he care? He's getting, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just. Those things do happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, if St. Charles and Gilbert's in the packet required a quote from the contractor, an invoice from the contractor, for payment from the property owner, and a waiver of lien. Both villages required that. And then the community would reimburse them whatever the percentage, 100% or 50% or whatever. And then with the time frames of up to 3 years where somebody couldn't improve the property and then put the for sale sign and then hit the road. They would have to, in the first year, repay 100%, second year, 50, and third year,
maybe 25.
25 or something like that.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a paperwork trail and a waiver of lien. So, I mean, it's about as far as you're going to go.
I mean, that's pretty standard stuff. Waiver of lien and, like, you know, I went through the lead program.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Is it 100% covered now?
No.
I yet. Just got. Anyway, I'm going to send you another invoice. Just kidding.
So,
my waiver of lien.
We can come back to this, and I will smooth out these details. These are just some points that I thought might be important, you know, preserving historical integrity. Obviously, we want it to look like it belongs in town to a certain extent. But that also brings up a good point. Some of that is branding. You know, it may not look like Frank Lloyd Wright, but that's not what Old Navy looks like, for example. You know, so like, how far do we want the character to be part of the, like, reflective of the village, but also reflective of the branding of the village, of the business.
Zoning.
I was going to say, wouldn't zoning, you know, you'd have to get a permit.
I don't think we should.
It's tough to regulate design.
I would say whatever, as long as
it's allowable. Totally.
So it's permit. The Cliff, the building official, will definitely weigh in and make sure. But if you're talking about a dentist who's looking to update their sign, there are certain restrictions in the sign code that would limit the, you know, it has to be a box sign and the letters have to be individual lit up or whatever.
Tracing LED lights.
Correct. Right. No chasing light. Yep. Right. So there's certain things that it does have. But what I'm saying is, if we're going to require that E that has the real low center part, because that's the Frank Lloyd font or something, you know, like if there's something, it has to be lit up white,
not
blue or whatever.
Not for us.
I think EDC should even get.
It's pretty nitty gritty.
No, but I agree. Whatever the zoning decides, that wouldn't be anything that would have anything to do with this or with the EDC. I wouldn't think at all.
Have to regulate aesthetics like that.
Yeah. It's approved.
That's what, you know, then you need a design committee.
Yeah. No.
I'm not offering.
But that's fine. That's fine.
I like the E, though.
That's fine.
Textual lettering.
So business sizes. Well, I think we probably follow suit here. I'm assuming like under 50, 20.
You mean employee count?
Yeah. Because that way it kind of takes out all Panera's, you know. It would be small businesses. I mean,
Panera might, and I'm not arguing on their behalf, but they could argue that there's only 10 employees at that location.
No, but you would do the corporate. I mean,
so calculate. Population.
Business size, it would be Panera would be, you know, 20,000 or whatever that number would be. Like, we can discuss. I mean, that's part of the discussion, right? Like,
do we want it is. And I think my
maybe
first,
we do.
Well, my gut was a revenue number, but if this is the new business, they don't have a revenue. I think a number of employees is probably a better suggestion, unless somebody else.
Do we want to attract Panera, you know, those guys? I mean, I understand why it's for
small
businesses.
Well, you do, but that, to me, that's not, I wouldn't give a facade
grant for them.
Grant
just bring asking the questions. I mean, it makes sense. This is made for small businesses, mom and pops who are looking to, but if anything helps, get the money out.
We can also say
the places,
the, you know, only considering the employee count of River Forest employees, or last year's revenues under $500,000, whichever is lower. You could consider both without.
I mean, when it comes to business size, I think it's pretty well understood that if it's a Panera, then it's the amount of employees that Panera employs. I mean, I think they would know that as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about every real estate office? They all belong to a mega corporate, you know, mega institution that's supporting them.
Those are usually franchises of that. Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I mean,
but I do like the concept of a certain number.
Yeah, but then, yeah, how do you calculate that? I mean, it's a good.
Because I think the national definition of a small business is, I believe it's 500 employees. And I don't think the monetary number is as critical as the size of the employment. What we'd call small business and what the government would call small business are totally different.
Right.
Unmute yourself.
but to that end, I mean, what is that real estate, small real estate, the Edward Jones or something like that? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Does that qualify? I mean, it's one guy and some people, so it is a small business. We know who he is, you know, and all that. At the same time, you're a large corporation behind him.
I think it depends on
structure. If it's a ridership or a partnership, it's okay, but if that becomes an S corp or whatever, I don't know how these people are, LLC, or then it's out. So
that's a good point.
I'm assuming mom and pop businesses are sole proprietorships.
LLC.
Rarely C corps. You know what I mean? LLC probably holds title to the property, which actually might be the person or entity that would be asking for the grant. But that's a really good point.
Yeah, I just looked it up, and you're right, Robert. It's 500 employees.
Yeah, I seem to recall that number.
And I recall seeing on Madison Street some really nice facade improvements, some nice retail stores that came to the Madison Street that were franchised.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love those, and they did really nice improvements to the facade. I think 500 employee and would allow, I mean, obviously this could be fleshed out, but we could allow for a franchise, but it's owned by a franchisee, not the corporate franchisor. I think all of that, we can work a definition up.
So I think it's a few things, right? So if you are a franchisee, you're paying that person. So, right, the company that's paying the McDonald's employee isn't getting paid by McDonald's. They're getting paid by someone else. And mm-hmm. so I think that's like really key in some of these scenarios. You know, I think as far as the chamber is concerned, we think 50 employees is what we consider a small business.
Yeah.
And that scares me in itself. I think it needs to be number of employees and or revenue number. Cause I think about small restaurants that maybe have two locations, but they have 25 part-time employees at each of those mm-hmm. locations, given their business hours. So I would suggest something that's an and or an or, mm-hmm. so that you're capturing those folks as well.
But I do think you should try to be inclusive. We aren't capping the size
yep.
of the project. I think if they are, but if you want more people to participate, mm-hmm. you say it's like 10,000, 20,000, whatever number it is. And that's a way that governs the size.
So what would be the dollar amount?
Why don't we leave it open at this point? We're just trying to get the concepts. We're not concluding this. Right. Just say to be defined, small business.
Just to clarify, this whole thing just becomes a recommendation then in a trustee chapter.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, so let's summarize here. I think we decide, I mean, there's been some talk about having franchises be a part of this, which I think does somewhat work within the spirit of what we're thinking of. I do like the idea of I don't know exactly how you phrase it, but I don't think a C corp would make sense. I mean, I do think LLCs, sole props, but I don't know that people get tricky sometimes when they're setting up those corporations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, corp.
Yeah,
agree.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate structure is just too.
So you're thinking anything? What are we thinking in terms of number of employees? And what we can do is we could set up some guidelines, and then we could try to think, well, would this fall into that, in or out of that, someone that we want? I mean, 100 employees, I usually think of 100 as being, when we look at, you know, small business and we divvy it up, you know, it, in the banking world, 100 is kind of a number that works in Chicago. Like anyone over 100, it's a bigger institution, but under 100, you know, I think like, what's the architectural firm, Aria or whatever it is on North Boulevard? I think they're like 80, 90, used to be.
So I like to use the term small to medium sized businesses. Because, right, if you call Aria a small business, I'm sure they're going to be like, we're not a small business.
Yeah, right.
So, right, like.
But they have probably like 80 employees, right? Yeah.
But you don't have to call it a small business.
Yeah.
You can just say limited to.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Privately held businesses?
No, because I think you go back into defining like you just said.
Well, I mean, privately held. I mean, you wouldn't want it to be publicly held. I mean, I think we can assume that we wouldn't want any publicly held. I guess if it's a franchise, it's not the publicly held company. Again, maybe I don't want to get too far down that road, but I don't think we'd want publicly held companies to be a part of this process. I can't think of one.
Are there any publicly held companies with 100 employees only?
I doubt it. That's a good point. I mean, again, we're not talking about McDonald's here.
I'm trying to think about Fresh Time, though. Is Fresh Time publicly held?
I would assume so, yeah. No, it's not.
Owned by Meijer?
No, Fresh Time.
Fresh Time is owned by Meijer.
Oh, well, they are for sure, right? Or are they still family owned?
I don't know.
It's a good question.
But like Fresh Time would qualify potentially.
No.
You think there's more than 100 employees?
I know there are more than, and that's not, those aren't franchises. That's a corporate, that's a huge corporation.
Okay.
Yeah. They've got thousands of employees.
So they would automatically not be eligible.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
They also can't fit in the C1 or, I mean, some of this is like, there's natural governors on this. I think there's not as much risk as we're throwing at this thing.
And then we are focusing on the business itself versus the building. So like North Avenue, this is very beautiful, but maybe it could be more beautiful. If we're focusing on the business, that's each of these little units versus the building itself and offering something to the building owner.
A great question.
That was one of my questions later on was, what about the property owners? Are property owners eligible to apply? If they have the number of vacancies, is the property owner eligible? And then is it multiplied by the vacant locations or the total tenants? There's 6 vacant spaces in my building. So I get the 50,000, let's say, times 6, because I am going to have 6 facades.
So one of the things I think, just to step back, that I think also as a governor, I think it should be a capped dollar amount, not a percentage of the whatever is in the TIF bucket.
Okay.
Because again, that I think
that
is
was
a,
exactly.
No.
He was just saying
the total
like,
facade program.
I understand.
We never, I agree. Is it 10,000?
Yeah.
But that's going to
100%.
Because again, that is going to limit. I mean, it for a small, because if you're a small business owner and you're opening a business, maybe you think it's going to do $500,000 in revenues and you got $20,000 on the sign. It's a lot of money, you know, with everything else you have to spend. So 10 grand is very much, very helpful. If you're Panera, it's
nothing.
Yeah, not meaningless, right? Even if you're a franchisee, it's millions of dollars, right? So I just think if we might not have that number today, but I think having that in mind helps us as we're working through the rest of this, because
yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah,
if you're
negotiating something, you're like, care. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, yeah.
So I, you know, you could say for if it's an existing property owner, Because this is intended to encourage a new business,
mm-hmm.
right? So it could be, yeah. I think a building owner
yes.
could apply for this.
I do too.
If it is in, if it's related to a new lease that they're signing, even, yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like property owner can just apply to it.
An improvement without any, yeah.
So, all right, playing devil's advocate, I agree with you. But so the property owner needs to have a new lease in place. It has to be part of some overall TI that they're doing.
I think that's a good trigger.
Yeah.
Or because, within a time frame.
Or just a negotiation.
Or what if it's just in bad, just hear me out, it's in bad shape and needs tuck work, you know, all things like this. And in order to even start showing it to your guys, mm-hmm. you know, they need to start making it.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd open that up for other people. And
yeah.
Thoughts.
I think in order to make the building more attractive, you need the grant to make it more attractive yeah. to get a tenant.
Mm-hmm.
But
North Avenue.
Yeah.
Well, there's absentee landlords too. I mean, there's anyway, but yeah.
Well, there's a lot of reasons as to why it got to that stage.
So if we did that, if we went down that route, which I'm not sure we do or we don't, you could have a guy that just owns some properties and says, I'm going to redo the facade on all these, and I don't even have any leases set up.
But he'd still have to go through zoning. I mean, a permit, right?
Yep. He would beautify the, I mean, you could argue he's.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm not opposed to, I you know, I think that suggestion makes sense. And in the spirit of what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Again, yeah, I agree. Because, I mean, we're only talking about 30 properties. You know what I mean? Like, total.
Right, in terms
you know
of scale,
what I mean? Like, so why?
So it's just cosmetic. That's what it is.
It's basically cosmetic, yeah. And mm-hmm. and if you're a property owner, you're probably, you're not applying. If you're an absentee that doesn't care, you're not applying for this
no,
anyway.
No. Yeah.
It's interesting, these two. I did bother to read all this.
You got this 47 pages.
Kept me awake. But I noticed in these other two communities, they extended it more than just cosmetic. They went into enhancements to the electrical service, upgrading the fire alarm, so you know, complying. I know particularly when you sell a property, you're usually getting an inspection by the fire department, and that's going to bring the building up to current codes. That's usually the only time the fire department has an opportunity to voluntarily come in, well, not voluntarily, by ordinance, come in and take a peek. So there were a number of instances where it was internal things that you wouldn't see from a facade. If we're limiting this strictly to an eyeball enhancement, which is fine, I'm kind of more in favor of that, just because that's the things that the whole community gets to see, as opposed to somebody's new sprinkler head or fire alarm or internal mechanical equipment that needs to be adjusted or fixed up or whatever.
That makes sense. I mean, there's the only thing I would say is maybe if it's a safety issue, but no, I mean,
well, that's going to come with an inspection
change anyways. Yeah.
When a property changes hands.
Actually, our fire department conducted an inspection every year on all of our businesses.
Legally?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We're
allowed. No, I mean, because.
Yeah.
Okay. Because another community,
but not on
it was only when they were changing ownership.
So in the vacant spaces, obviously the property owner has to allow them in. And if they don't show up, then the fire department is not going in. But, when we talked about the vacant building registry, I was getting that from the fire department. Mm. So now that's not to say that it's October 2nd and the space is vacant today and rented tomorrow, but the fire inspection did their fire guys did their inspection yesterday. They're going to say that building is vacant until they come back around in 12 months. And then they go, oh, now there's a business here. So as far as the vacant businesses, that list was going to be kind of hard to, it was going to give us a little bit of a benchmark, but no, they do go in and do the inspections for fire safety only. They are looking at sprinkler heads. They are looking at safety lights and stuff like that. Not building codes necessarily, though. So there is a little bit, but otherwise you're correct. There's no invitation for an inspection until it's going to be leased, and then they have to bring it into a certain compliance.
All right. And for the sake of just like trying to keep it straight, let's shelve that till we get to number three, until we kind of get over two, right? So the let's just try to get one of these.
So
get past two.
The next bullet point, current condition.
Well, where'd we land on business size?
I put in here 50 to 100 employees. Okay. And I am comfortable giving you guys all of this so we can kind of noodle it over the next month. And if you guys, you know, mark up different comments, or we can have another conversation if you, you know, feel like changing these numbers.
Well, we also can get really close to it with the idea of it. And then the village and the trustees can, I mean, you know, I mean, we don't, let's not haggle over, you know, haggle is the wrong word, but.
So the current condition is. This is just prioritizing properties. Again, this is with the assumption that we have such a long list of people that we're going to have to go, oh, your facade is falling over versus yours. You just need new lighting. So we're going to do the guy who's in more desperate need. So this criteria, in fact, may not really apply at this point. We're early on. We don't have a lot of businesses. I don't even know if we need to really have that assistance in prioritizing.
It's not bad to have in there, though, I guess, if it did become a problem. I would assume if every building that wanted an improvement would come to us, we would have enough money to do it all, though. Depending on where we land.
They're
not going to, but.
Well, and also, like,
have in there.
The intention is not to do this all. It's not just for 1 year. We would like this to be an evergreen application.
Yeah.
So
I'm exaggerating for the point.
On the sidewalk, 50-50, does the village have a maximum dollar amount annually?
We don't do 50-50 sidewalks. I thought we paid up for all of those.
No, it depends on this just came up. If the villager wants it or not, or if it needs it, what they need it. It's a sliding scale. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Go on. I didn't mean
to. No, I just thought if you wanted to replace your sidewalk, your costs would be split with the village.
What happens is if it's bad in the sidewalk, they would determine if it's really bad, they're like, yeah, we'll take care of this. Mm-hmm. If it's a little bit bad, then they split it, but they'll do the contract work. And if it's not bad at all, but they just don't like the color of it, then the resident pays for it, but it goes to the village.
I guess my question was really, does the village have a cap, a dollar cap? Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound like it.
No, not really. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into it, so it's hard to make a cap, especially with something like that where materials change every year. So and that's a benefit to the program, I suppose.
With business tenure.
Mm-hmm. This saying older businesses would get priority potentially over newer businesses, or maybe newer businesses get priority over older businesses.
Do you guys think there needs to be a number in there? Priority for, I would personally, to me, that's a moot point. I mean, it could be either. We'd want new or old. I don't
business
mean that.
Is business.
Yeah, business is business. I mean, I could argue, you know,
I could go either.
Yeah, someone needs a refresher. Okay, that's great. Or someone's bringing a new business.
Yeah.
Property owner awareness.
Mm-hmm. So this one is kind of coming out of, the building department, really. There are tenants that, not necessarily in River Forest, of course, there are tenants that might try to do improvements without telling the property owner.
But their lease will dictate that.
Their lease would, but people try things. And so we would like to literally include a statement, or in what I had suggested was a letter of support that the property owner must sign, that acknowledges that they're aware of this improvement coming into their property and their investment, and that this doesn't violate the lease and whatever.
I think that makes sense. I mean, you can't, yeah. I would think there'd be, yeah.
I feel like if you're the owner of the property, you should know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
This is kind of goes to our other question that we started earlier. Should property owners that currently have vacancies be allowed to participate? So I think the response was yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Do we want to limit those? Maybe not. I was just thinking if there's a lease involved, this amount, but it's better not to overcomplicate these things.
I think that that can go towards the in so I imagine the application will have like a final paragraph that's like the review committee has the right to prioritize, to make final decisions and its recommendation to the village board.
Yeah.
And also in determining that we'll only let you do half of your program, half of your building this year. You can do the other half next year if you have such a large.
Because I am also thinking.
Sorry.
I don't know. I mean, I know some of the people, but do we have. Excuse me, but do we have like people that own just a ton of properties in River Forest that are located in River Forest? I know people own properties, but I'm just wondering about what do we limit it in terms of, as you mentioned before, a 5-unit building. Is that, is it 5 different pins? I mean, is it 5 different opportunities for improvements there? If there's 5 different businesses, if you have a lot of different businesses, do we cap the individual? I mean, does it go by pin? Does it, how do we determine?
When I did the property owner audit like 3 years ago, I was surprised, and maybe I shouldn't have been, how many people were nowhere near River Forest that own the buildings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe what we could do and get into the details is just for property owners, maybe property is just limited, you know, 3 per property owner or something like that.
Well, what if they have all not vacant? What if they're all occupied? I mean, do we have some limits to?
Well, you have again. I think that's a good question. But you have if you have a dollar cap, I think
per pin
limiting
or
it to pin is probably a pretty good.
I think least business that falls within the criteria, and we have a cap, it's all fair game. I think our concern is if you have a property owner that's trying to do multiple properties,
right?
That's what I think. The vacant property, you get 2.
So yeah.
Come back on a special deal.
But if I have a 6-unit strip mall, is that 6 opportunities to get this done if they're all filled?
I think
probably
it,
the same.
It might.
If they're all standalone.
Yeah, I'm just asking the question so we like flush it out. You know,
there's 6 and all 6 are vacant.
Yeah. Right.
So there can't be any discretion, right? That's the rule. If they meet those criteria, if they meet the criteria, they get it.
Right.
Subject to the subjective assessment that the paragraph you put at the end of the thing gives you the right to.
But is a subjective assessment okay?
I don't think you can spell out everything.
Just
to
have
be
a subjective assessment.
I mean, we'll have the lawyers review it, but. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I'm generally okay with that, but I just wanted to raise the question. If you have a 6-unit strip center, let's say we make it 25,000 is the max. I'm not saying, or let's just say if we did 20,000, $40,000 project, 20,000. I mean, that person can get $120,000 to do the 6 units. Again, I think it's okay, but I just want to make sure, because when you make something like this, people find ways to kind of get through.
Yeah,
that's why I think we
do
have to
probably put something in the application that says, you know, it's a cap. Let's say it's $10,000. You know, if it's you're capped per project, you know, at that $10,000 amount.
So,
right, so that if you know you're applying one time. And you come in and you say, I want $10,000, I want to approve this unit to my shopping center. You're applying that for that one time up to $10,000. And if you want to apply again, all right, you can apply again for unit 3.
Yep.
You keep and you can get rejected, or you know, if there's you're prioritized and you're number 3 or whatever, or you could be accepted because that's another opportunity to improve that second storefront. But if each time you're capped and you're applying, so you're not I've got 6 vacant units, here's all 6 at once, you have the application limited so you can only do one up to the $10,000 cap.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense to me. I mean, that it would go by pin. What do we got going on here? You did wonderfully just talking right through that. I hear myself. I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we I think Finn was how we kind of looked. Based on Penn, doesn't seem to be that there'd be any maximum at this point or done by project. Types of eligible improvements. We kind of went over this a little bit. Go ahead.
In regards to eligibility criteria, we have some intentional prior transitions here. I'm wondering if we want to also consider intentionally prioritizing businesses or property owned by folks from historically marginalized backgrounds. Mm-hmm. I think that that is something that like is a barrier for people. Mm-hmm. It just like feels like it is something that we should be considering if there is a limited amount of money and we are saying what else we're prioritizing.
I don't think there's going to be, I don't believe there's going to be like a need to prioritize that much. But I'd be thinking that that'd be, if there is going to be one, I would definitely think that could be one of the priority mechanisms or measuring sticks. But I don't.
I just know we went through a few that are already here. So yeah. If we are listing those initially, I think it's just good to also keep that consideration in there. That's something this group wants to do.
I think that's a good point. If we do put it. Prioritization.
Yeah,
I think right now we're saying if we can put this thing together without a prioritization, it's probably better.
I would agree. But so if we did do it significant, like there would be the priority, well, needs would be by the building and by the owner and just their access to capital, however you want to phrase it, marginal communities, historically marginalized backgrounds. And the building itself in need, but so we're going to have that as a note, but I don't think you prioritize them.
I think what's confusing is we have eligibility criteria, but then there's language in here about prioritization within the eligibility. So if we got to break it up, then that's not what it's about.
Yeah, this is for property types of improvements, but I do think just we're going to need a placeholder, catch-all prioritization. Mm-hmm. I think that's where we can put it. So if it does come, then that's one of the criteria we can use.
I think that's a good idea.
I think that that's also a really good point. Thank you for bringing that up. I know that our DEI commission would be very happy to see that some kind of notation there. And also, if that's something that we're considering, I know that, you know, there's letters and classifications for women-owned businesses and minority-owned businesses, and it would make a lot of sense to capture that in the application process. So making that clear from the front end, if those are the classifications, for example, that we're considering, I think that that would be really helpful to have up front.
From a marketing standpoint, if they're ever out there talking with people, it makes sense as well.
Mm-hmm. So,
and it's the right thing to do.
But, I'm sharing my screen again since I was kind of distracted for a few minutes. I was trying to capture the conversation. So, generally speaking, yes, the property owner is allowed to participate even if there's vacancies, but we want to talk about a dollar cap per pin per parcel.
Well, the idea was is that, it would be done. Whatever it would be, whatever dollar amount we fall on would be per pin. So if you have a building with three pins, but it's
smushed together.
Oh, no, I mean, I think that would be.
You basically limit it to one submittal or one application, if you will, per pin at a time. Right. So. It always would allow somebody who's got a single pin, but maybe two storefronts, to come in and apply a second time. But you can only do one application for the maximum amount.
Does that make sense? So it wouldn't be smushed together. It would be separate. Right. You could come in three times.
Wouldn't we want, though, an overall look? Like, if your building itself is very ugly.
Yeah.
Wouldn't we want an overall option that applies to all storefronts? Yeah, but again,
you have a cap on this, right? So if I'm a building owner and I believe that I can say that I can put four buildings or four units in my property,
yeah,
right? Do you automatically want to give them $40,000 if it's, again, if it's 10? Or if you've got, I mean, if they got to spend 40 and you're going to give them 10, you're still giving them 25% of the project.
So you're saying you can only do one project at a time, but what
up to the amount? Hey,
oh, it's all about the amount.
You can do all four.
No, but I mean, to your point, like if you had that four unit,
you invest your own money too.
If you had a four unit, someone did spec retail. Now we're talking crazy, but if you did something like that, you had four units, that'd be four different pins.
If
they're coming in, you have four different pins, they're coming in and they're looking to do, they're putting tenants in. I mean, you'd want them to go, I mean, again, playing advocate here, they'd have to come in four different times and they couldn't be, maybe they could do them consecutively is all I would think. It would still have to be per project, but I don't know why, maybe you wouldn't have to be limited to one project at a time.
So yeah, I think of my own real life example. There were three other businesses in the building, and we went in and we applied and we got our grant for our facade. But the building owner probably could have gone in and said, "Hey, I'd like to submit a separate application for this other Target." And then a separate third application for the third storefront that was on the, you know, on the other side of, you know, this was at Marion and North Boulevard.
Okay.
Couldn't you include the basic wording of a party's pin and or attached pins or connected pins represent one unit? I mean, I'm thinking like on Madison, there's a strip mall there owned by one party. I don't know if it's four or six units on that. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh.
Hmm. Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. It is five.
It's five. Okay.
Five.
So there's, businesses. And I would imagine there's five pins there.
So I just looked at the one we were kind of thinking about on North Avenue, and that is actually five pins.
Mm.
There's more than that. There's a lot of addresses, but there's five pins for that property. So what we're saying here is, let's say the cap is $50,000, they'd be
applying
$250,000 in facade grant for, if the property owner applied. Or I thought I had also heard we were talking about a vacant property owner is allowed to, like, we would limit it to the, he can do two in 1 year. He can apply for two or three in 1 year. Or maybe we allow a leased out property owner to do three a year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough thing. Maybe we do whatever the number we do, we, let's just say it's 20,000.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we double it and that's the max you can do per property.
Okay.
Or something like that. So that it's like, you know, again, it's $20,000 per pin. But if you have five pins, you can do a total of $40,000. You can do two or something like that.
But I could also see it would benefit like this particular one where there's five pins.
Right.
And this, like, if the property owner applies, he gets limited to four. So one of the businesses isn't getting done. But let's say that all five are filled and all five business owners want to do their facade. Then I would say let them do it. And it would be five applications for those addresses.
So what if only one business or LLC can ask money for this project? So usually these properties are owned by an LLC. I mean, 99.9% of them. So they could do one, they could do $20,000, whatever it is for the entire building,
mm-hmm.
but they can encourage their tenants to do one individually for each pin.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably all owned by, so maybe you say a single corporation can't submit for a grant within 10 years or something like that. I don't know. Seems to be a way to
lease. It's paid for by the tenant.
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of things that could go into it. You could be doing some tenant improvement. You could be helping with rent. I mean, there's, you know, there's different ways. He could just be doing overall brickwork to make the whole place look nice. I mean, there, you know what I mean? Like, there's a reason he could be doing something that would be separate from the business owner. Well, and both would be
more complicated. A landlord or property owner as well as the business owner maybe trying to apply for the same grant.
But I think that that might work out though, right? I mean, because they could have it for different needs, you know.
The other thing I was thinking of is if we have five businesses in a 5-unit building, what's the likelihood that they're all going to want their own thing? Like, what if one guy wants it painted white behind his sign and the other guy wants it painted gray behind his sign? The other guy wants a brick facade put on, you know, applied on, like, how is that going to look?
So here's what I suggest, since it's seven.
Well, I mean, to be fair, though, that's not like that. Let's say it's all within the zoning code. So it's literally what this looks like. How much in that case, it makes more sense for the property owner to be the applicant, because then we go, OK, one guy, we're dealing with one designer who's considering the whole building.
So I think we've got a small committee here, and this is relatively new for us. I love the idea of it. But there's got to be learnings from other villages that have done
totally.
That. And you did that initial research, but I think that we've got to be able to reach out and say, hey, here's five or six things that are coming up that we should research a bit more to get some answers to, rather than try to figure these out ourselves, because other groups have been through this. Yeah. We could be here till midnight talking about this stuff. And then not necessarily even have the best answers.
No, right, because it'd be something we came up with, the eight of us, where this has been flushed out, you know, with over years with different, you know, and things have popped up. They've had to make changes. Mm-hmm. You know, there's things that we're not going to even anticipate. But I think you have a general idea of where I think the committee's thoughts are.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea.
Yeah. I think
some of the details can be flushed out through what other communities have done. Right.
So do we see any type of category 3 types of eligible improvements that we don't want to do? It was exterior painting, signage, as long as it's within the sign code. Doors and windows, they want to replace the doors and windows, we don't care. Awnings and canopies.
Parking.
Lighting, landscaping. Parking was one that I thought, it wasn't originally on the list that I found, but I thought that was an improvement too. Maybe the building's fine, but the parking is potholed.
Yeah, I think it's a very good idea.
People like to, I mean, it's a good point. Usually I wouldn't think of it as being something. I know it's just...
It's not actually, I didn't see it in a lot of the programs, but when I was just looking at this going like, okay, what would I want my money for? Kind of seemed like something. Okay. So we'll just go with, we like all of three. So number 4, maybe a good place to stop because we go into funding. And I can take what we've kind of talked on. We've kind of touched on it. We're not going to do low interest loans. So I'll strike that already. This is where we get into, you know, where the limits, is it reimbursable? Are we matching? Are we reimbursing entirely? Are we reimbursing only those businesses that are on a higher end of, they've been here longer, will help out a brand new business up front? That'll be a harder sell for the village board, I would bet. I'm starting Jessica's Bakery and I'm coming to the village saying, I want to rent that space on North Avenue, but I can't afford the signage. So will you give me money up front?
But that's a hard sell. That's part of the appeal of this program?
Well, it would be
bring business to the village.
Oh, for sure. That's not the hard sell. What I'm saying is I want you guys to give me the $10,000 based on the quote that I received. And then and then I use that money to pay the contractor. So rather than the business come out up front, that's what I'm talking about. So and then someone had mentioned the clawback in the past, kind of like what you had mentioned.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I like the club.
A reimbursement program.
I mean, good luck, though.
Well, I mean, we could lien the property.
I mean, but it's not, now the landlord has one more thing that.
Mm-hmm. If they go bankrupt, right, you're not getting the money back, right? Yeah. If they absolutely close, that's the reality of the situation. Yeah, but if
you can include it as an option.
They relocate the business, that would be, you know. Something where you could enforce a clause.
To encourage them to stay.
Yeah. And it makes sense. There's intent and so that there's
the enforcement of it, we have to figure out. But
yeah. I think
that you could also tie if you're doing dollars on vacancy to a term for re-tenanting, that's a little more difficult, but you could put a time frame, you got to have a tenant in 3 years, 2 years, something. I don't know. You know, whether those dollars are actually going to attract a tenant. Another clawback.
You mean for the land? Yeah, that's a good point.
If you, because there's some hesitancy, do we allow landlords to use it? Mm-hmm. But yeah, if they get to
on vacant properties,
so it could be tied to that. And
I think that makes sense.
Yeah, the clawback I think has a lot of there's a lot of arguments you could make for and against the clawback. Mm-hmm. And again, that's one of those things I think we got to research. And you'd say, hey, if you had a clawback, did you ever enforce it ever?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't enforce it, does it make sense?
No, I mean, I guess, did you ever even have an instant where where you even had to, like, I kind of assess what is the actual risk there?
Yeah, I don't disagree. I kind of feel like think about it. If the business is not doing well and they're failing, are they going to be like, oh, no, and then I got my $3,000. I got to get back to the village. No. Like,
yeah, if it's
not going to help the situation.
But besides, if this is a reimbursement, the improvements have been made.
Mm-hmm.
They've been paid for. And we're paying back. True. So whether the business fails or not, the property was improved. Then hopefully the next tenant takes advantage.
That's a benefit.
Yeah, that's why I just think you could make arguments for and against the clawback. So
totally.
We want investment made into these properties, whether they're vacant or, you know.
Then I guess you can put the clawback
in. Yeah. Correct.
True.
Correct.
Don't want to set up
corridors, man. Mm-hmm. So the next one is the design guidelines and the review process. So this
if I can interrupt. Just looking at what the Village of Gilbert's put in, they had a lot of things that would prevent abuse or bad flow back to the village. If the business is not paid its taxes, if they're in subject to fines already, village codes, they've already received some money from the village in a prior event. There's quite a few things that if you really look at what the Village of Gilbert's put through to prevent, you know, where the village is giving money for an improvement, but this person hasn't paid their taxes or is in violation, has got a bunch of fines. Or hasn't completed their construction projects or something like that, you just wouldn't go out of your way to say, well, you're eligible to get some money from the village.
True. We do have a provision right now of the business license and part of the zoning code that if you are out of compliance at another property in town, then we will not issue a business license at your first property in town and vice versa. So you have to have all your outstanding concerns addressed before we'll issue the business license. So, I mean, we can beef that up a little bit.
And I do think, I mean, I guess it only accounts for the landlords, but the real estate taxes is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be
in any fines current, and yeah, any other current. Yeah. I mean, we've got examples of this floating around.
Yeah. But it also, the tenant would also be very interested in knowing their property owner is behind on taxes. I mean, they don't pay taxes to the village. They pay taxes to the county.
But if you're the tenant, I don't think you hold them responsible if the landlord hasn't paid taxes.
No, but you can be like, hey, guy, I'm paying you rent, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it might be a little tricky for us to find out who hasn't paid their property taxes.
You can look up the PIN on the treasury number and it shows you what's due. We used to do that all the time.
True. So step five, the review process. A design review board seemed to make sense. Keeping just with OMA terms, we could have it be a separate, a part, like a subcommittee of this. We would, you know, have another meeting to attend if you wanted to. I'll have to talk to Matt to see if there's interest to form another committee or commission by the village president. I don't know about that. I think it'd probably make more sense to be housed here personally, but we'll see.
Do we need another committee? I mean, how many are we expecting of these? I mean, we could probably have it as a line item to go over as homework, I would think. I mean,
I would suggest deleting almost everything in five. And that's based on personal experience in the village. When the village, a number of years ago, tried to enforce sign compliance and coding, and it really had to do with Town Center 1, and there was, well, we filled Village Hall twice on with the happy business owners who said, this is going to cost me X thousands of dollars to change all of this design. It sounds wonderful. It's practically impractical. What you feel is appropriate is not what somebody else feels is appropriate. So,
oh, I see what you're saying. So,
and it was, let's just say Whole Foods was ready to walk on the deal. They were that upset a long time ago. They didn't want, they had their corporate structure and how they worded it and how they symbols looked, and they weren't going to be told this was the only color situation that actually they were forcing all the signs to be white in the village.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that went over like the Titanic.
I was taking this to mean more so like the review process itself, not necessarily specific to design, because we've talked here about how we would follow the zoning codes and the sign codes. And then a lot of these properties probably are subject to a plan development agreement, which already does limit certain characteristics and design elements.
So is your question, are we adding to this application some separate approval process of the proposed improvements aside from just getting a permit?
So right now, how I would see it going is if we received an application, it would be incumbent upon staff to take these applications and somehow do a first round review and bring them and then we discuss the application in full, all of these applications in full at a public meeting, which has its strengths and weaknesses, or have a separate review committee that would go, we've received these seven applications and we think five of them should be approved.
All right. So a lot going on.
Right.
The way this is written, it suggests what you were saying, that there's some other secondary review process that has to do with like the improvements that are being mm-hmm. done. I would argue that's not at all necessary and it's not our jurisdiction. If it is going to be something, we don't want any part of it. Doesn't make sense for us. From the financial standpoint, though, you know, I would, depending on what the application looks like, it should be yes or no's. Do they meet all the qualifications? You know, it's pretty easy. Yes, no. You argue these things, whatever you decide they are. Then they could do a two paragraph explanation of who they are and their business, blah, blah, blah. And then they could add a budget, right? I mean, I've looked at it. Similar to what you'd see on a grant, mm-hmm. right? You'd have the first page, follow the formalities. They'd do a quick understanding of where we are and then all the numbers in the back. That would be something I would think this committee could handle, because it's going to be pretty straightforward. You know what I mean? It's going to be yes or no. Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be an understanding. And that's really more just so we kind of understand what's going on. But if they hit all the criteria, I don't know how much, I don't think there should be much subjectivity to it. I mean, you need to put something in there.
I guess how I thought it would go, and that's why I was asking a question about the process, but I thought it would just like you said, Kyler, you know, you whatever the eligibility requirements, check. And then you say, great, this is now subject to simply getting a permit, which right. means you have to meet the current right. existing.
Give us some information, codes, but more just for background. Yeah.
Which then doesn't put that onus on us or add any extra design criteria that's not already part of the village's code. But I also want to be conscious of what you're saying, Jessica. There's a process of the staff saying, you know, is it just up to the staff to say, oh, it's you've met all of the eligible requirements, check. Now I can, yeah, you'll get it.
So
as long as
I am hearing what you're saying correctly, like we get 5 applications, it would be more like staff would inform this commission, hey, we got 5 applications. I'm including it in a board packet. These are the 5, but I've already sent the reimbursement. I'm just simply notifying you of the applications.
Well, that's
and
really more
then for... we're letting, like, staff is going, yeah, they're getting the maximum reimbursement. And so, the village board is approving the money at that point.
To me, that's really more for the village to tell us what the committee's part in this should be and not the committee to tell the village.
Yeah, I didn't think that this committee had any approval authority over anything other than...
There's recommending authority. So you could look at an application and say, we don't recommend it for reimbursement.
But
and I guess what I'm saying is, do you want that? Do you want that right?
It's so much red tape. It comes here and then you make a recommendation and then it shows up at the... On the trustees agenda 2 months later and then they approve.
I do agree with that. Red tape sucks, especially when you're trying to get construction done. So I do agree with that. I think we have to temper that. At the same time, I do feel like there should be some sort of like approval process along the way. You know what I mean?
There should be.
Village staff can do it. It should be very objective.
It totally.
If it qualifies.
We should be rubber stamping it. But
well, I'm wondering if we need
even see it.
Exactly. I don't think we recommend this as a program, but then not need to be involved in the approvals.
Yeah.
What's wrong with just the party get a permit? End of the story. I mean, we're like filling this thing with an atomic bomb. It's not that they're making an issue out of something that I don't think is an issue.
So we are trying to tell the village board why we think that the new business should get a $35,000 check.
I think it's more of, we make a recommendation to the village board. Here are the 10 criteria, whatever the number is.
Mm-hmm.
They vote it up or down. And then staff decides whether the applicant has complied with the 10 criteria. If they have, you get it. If not, they send it back.
Okay.
I think that's...
So you guys want to simply be informed by, hey, this month I had 5 applications. They're already on their way. You don't have any...
I'd be okay with that. And again, they still have to get permitted.
Yeah.
Yes, they would still go through permitting.
You tell us, they can get it because they couldn't get a permit for what they were trying to do.
Okay.
I think the less red tape and construction, the better too.
Well, everything that people are applying for require a permit. So if I want to buy planters that go in front of my building that are shaped like dinosaurs, mm-hmm. that doesn't require a permit.
Correct.
And so part of the eligibility needs to be it aligns with our signage code.
I was going to, so let me make a friendly like suggestion, because if you're signing a lease and you're going to make improvements, the ones that require landlord approval are fixtures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is a legal definition.
And that seems to be
dinosaur
the eligible improvements.
Planters wouldn't qualify.
Okay. Yeah. If I want to paint the parking lot blue because it aligns with my branding.
Nope. That's not allowed. That okay. is a plan development agreement
okay.
criteria.
Okay. So that's already covered. Basically, I'm like, are those kinds of things or that need to be in our eligibility for the dumb stuff?
Well, we can put our eligibility, right? And then at the bottom goes... And also does not violate your plan development agreement. You know, like,
I mean,
Town Center has one that they couldn't paint everything pink. You know what I mean? Because that would change the nature of the building.
And I think you can put together a definition of it, what are mm-hmm. truly improvements. You know,
because that is one of the ones on here. But I mean, you're right. I mean, that improvement of planters, greenery, and outdoor seating areas. Those aren't fixtures.
People think,
so I
weird
think you would...
It's not, but we didn't go through those, and I noticed those right away, and I was going to bring those up. Yeah. I didn't think we were going to go through those tonight, but Because I would have said, no, we can't. We're not.
I think you're right. Fixtures and
we're not approving outdoor furniture, permits. Right? I mean, that's.
Yeah, the application should be go, no go. I mean, that's what
the. Yeah.
But maybe annually we have to go, somebody has to go back and look and, you know, you guys are going to say, oh, the criteria is too stringent and they're not getting people in, then we have to loosen it up a little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think we could have it as a, I think you're right. I think we could have it as a bullet point in our meetings to just go over, hey, look, this is what we've done.
Yeah.
We can use that opportunity. We haven't done anything. Okay.
Love to get updates.
Yeah. Yeah. So why don't we just, as far as our, once we come up with a recommendation for the trustees, you know, whatever it is, a 12, 15, you know, yes or no application, whatever, however other people have done it. I'm sure we don't have to reinvent the wheel there, to your point. Then after that, we can make that recommendation. Then on a go-forward basis, yeah, we can just have it as a line item for the meetings.
Okay.
Does that give you enough to kind of chew on? Mm-hmm. We weren't sure how far we were going to get into this.
I think you can also, rather than have sort of strict guidelines, you can clearly state intent. And that's where some of these things, consistencies with character of existing buildings and context, and you could put that stuff in. That's clearly what you're driving at, right? That avoids some of these things. Totally subjective, but at least it's intent and not necessarily, you know, because you may get something like that, but where you have to judge.
Dinosaur planters.
Well, love it could dinosaurs. Be a dinosaur store.
Hey, that could be right on brand.
I sell all things dinosaurs.
That's right. don't tell me I can't put them up.
Play out every iteration.
Just, but you can put them up. It's just got to be a fixture.
You put it up. We're just not paying for it.
Yeah. okay. Thanks, everyone, for.
Thank you.
I think
that was really helpful. Yeah. So I'll put together a draft of what this is kind of starting to look like. I'll send out the notes that I just took so that you guys can see and then add or provide your feedback. And then I'll kind of sketch out a policy and maybe a form if I'm lucky. and then I'll have that to present again next time.
You know, what might be helpful is just having like a faux application, you know, what questions you would have. That way we can kind of add or subtract there, because really that should flush out all the procedures, everything behind it, right? If we understand what should be on the application. And I think making it as objective as possible is a good idea and as easy as possible.
Yeah.
It's a pain to build in any community, small communities or otherwise. I mean, I think we do a pretty good job here in River Forest. I know our neighbors in Oak Park, there's always people complaining. So the less red tape, I think the better. If you're going to choose between River Forest and Oak Park, who would make that decision? But one more way thing to send our way. All right. Let's hammer through these. I don't think we have a ton. Number five. Say hammer through them, continued discussion regarding business community retention, support strategies, and communication. I think that's a lot of what we're doing here. I think have you any update on the parade or anything?
So we are in the middle of our budget season, and I have put it on my board's radar to approve an expenditure of some amount. We'll see how that goes. As we talk about business support strategies, the chamber just released its 10-year strategic plan. A lot of it is like centered around the work that we do around economic vitality. And the core of this plan is that we're going to be establishing a separate 501c3 organization. Right now we're structured as C6. It means we have to care about our businesses, not the entire community, which gets like really confusing because people think we care about the entire community, but I am beholden to making money for my members. So we're really excited about that. And I think that that's going to change up like how we operate. A lot of that does have implications of public events and more like community things. So for example, the Veterans Day Parade actually ticks into my commitment to 10 community-based events over the next year. So, you know, a lot coming out about our strategic plan. I invite you guys, we're having a bunch of different activations, mostly in Oak Park, because I can't find a bar in River Forest, then like, you know, we're still going to be a drinking chamber. So working on that, but you know, really, I encourage you to check out our website for all those activations, read our strategic plan. Really, it's a really big vision for like what we think economic vitality looks like. But it's also a vision that other chambers have done, right? You know, I think that we are really blessed to have a 559 member chamber. That's exceptional for two communities of our size. But in order to really make it something that benefits the whole community, we need a little more flexibility. Also, being a C3 means that we can apply for grants. We can, you know, interact with our county governments and our local governments just a little bit differently, which I'm really excited about. But, you know, more on that to come. We approved and announced this plan a month ago, and we are in membership month, and we have Spotlight going on, and it's also Hispanic Heritage Month and Disabilities in the Workplace Month. So we are a little busy, but, you know, we are filtering through some conversations with folks, and I'm sure some of you might be getting an email from my executive assistant to coordinate meetings, just because we really want to get some community buy-in around this plan. I think that Chambers of Commerce historically, once again, just care about businesses. But I think that one of the things that's common in both of the villages that we represent is that our communities care about our small business. And we want to make sure that you guys are informed on what's going on inside the chamber.
Very cool. How's that going to connect with like the community foundation? I mean, just are they going to be like an integral part of what you're doing or not at all? Or
probably not that much. Hopefully they give me some money.
Yeah. There you go.
You know, part of it is, and you know, some of the about 100 different ideas in this document, you know, one of them is like small business lending, grant making for like historically marginalized business owners. And so we will probably select somebody to service those things, just because I do not want to get in the baking business or the grant making business at all. So, right, we might partner with them on that. That kind of makes sense. But really, you know, I think that we...
They set something up some years ago. I don't know if they still have it in place, where we allowed for some of our investments in the community foundation to be used towards giving loans to the different businesses in the area that had that kind of triple bottom line. So, yeah, it makes sense. That's cool. Yeah. Good for you, man.
And we're building a building, but like, you know, at some point I will have to find a place. But
yeah,
continuous. It's going to be great. Small business incubator.
That'd be awesome.
Space. A nicer office for me. That's really the a boardroom, so I don't have to continually use yours.
I do like
sitting here every first Tuesday.
Right.
That'll be awesome. I want to know more about that. The incubator we've been trying to do for a while. I had some ideas back in the day. So that would be something we'd be very, very interested in and know more about. And those have been super. I was just at the ICNC today, which is crazy, which is an old one on the west side. That's cool. I like all the stuff that's coming out of the chamber. Number six, mm-hmm. I think we're pretty lean there.
Yep. The North Avenue streetscape, we're still working on getting some funds released from DCEO to help get that project going. But we do have some preliminary engineering work, I believe, maybe even phase one completed already. So we're hoping to get that project moving sooner than later. I don't have an update on Lake and Lathrop at this point. So for Madison Street, I'll just tie in the neighborhood dialogues. They've been going really well so far. We've had a number of residents reach out and offer to host in their home. And I attended one, and Administrator Walsh has attended, and they're going pretty well. The feedback that we're getting is really interesting and it's diverse, which is kind of what we had hoped for. Right now, you know, we have officially opened them up to all residents across the village. So if anyone is interested in hosting, you can contact Matt or I and we can pencil out some dates. We are primarily focused on discussing the economic development at Madison Street, but we're open to whatever other questions people might have. We're learning that there is a lot of different perspectives about economic development and different levels of understanding. And so it's really interesting that, you know, we're hearing from people who might otherwise be intimidated or not comfortable coming to a public meeting to ask these questions, which is kind of what we had anticipated. So, you know, we're open to keeping these going as long as we need to. And we just need a place to go. So if anyone is interested, regardless of where you live in town, we're just give me a call and we'll get it scheduled. So
these meetings, I know it's late, but I just real quick, I mean, they've been well attended, or are they open-minded? Has it been relatively open-minded, the people that have been attending them, or is it more like my mind's made up and I want an opportunity to tell you about what my mind thought is?
I think that they are relatively open-minded. I mean, I would almost go so far as to say pretty open-minded. People are coming with questions and they're really interested in learning, which is really what we'd hope for. That to me is a check in the positive box, you know?
Totally.
So.
Question on that, guys?
Good update.
Are the people are driving the conversation versus you guys having to have like an agenda of what you're going to talk about?
Let me put it this way. We have four questions that we're trying to ask each group, and we rarely get to the bottom because the first question is opening people up, and then they're just that comfort level is
so
there.
Are those dates for the meetings, are they posted on the, how do we find the date?
So the hosts are responsible for inviting people to their homes on their own. So the village is not advertising, or we're not advertising and we're not inviting people. The goal is that the homeowner is hosting and they're going to invite people that they're comfortable with into their home, because we don't want to appear to be driving the conversation by spreading this and having only certain people become aware of it. And we really want people to be respectful. You're going into someone's home. So
sure. I was just thinking, mm-hmm. As a member of this commission, that's good feedback that you'd love to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And short of going or actually attending one, how else do we capture it? Basically you're capturing it and we'll just get that from you?
So we have hired a consultant to assist us with this, because you guys probably aren't aware, but it's kind of a hot topic around here. So we want to make sure that we capture this information in as much of a non-biased way as we can. So we hired these consultants to help facilitate this conversation. Also with the idea that there was a chance that people weren't going to really talk to us, you know, but they might talk to a consultant more than they'll talk to staff. So at the end, we're trying to figure out the best way to present it. Mm-hmm. Right now, there are notes that are being taken from the meetings, but they're not public at this time.
Okay.
But we're trying to figure out in some form or fashion how they should be. We want to protect people's anonymity. So we're not really going to sit here and say, Tim Bringle said, blah, blah, blah. And then Katie said, blah, blah, blah.
Something he'd say. Blah.
Right. Dinosaur planter.
Yeah.
So,
well, you answered the question. That's good.
Yeah.
No.
So just to clear the hot topic.
That is the topic we're shooting for. Yeah. But like I said, we're open to anything. I mean, we don't want to stifle the conversation and be like, but can I bring you back? Like, if people are talking, you know, have a good time. So hopefully, you know, you get invited. If you're not interested in hosting, then hopefully someone that you know is. And we would encourage the commissioners to attend. We're not uninviting elected officials, but we're focused more on the residents, let's put it that way, who are not necessarily elected into their position.
If invited. Right. Makes sense. Yeah, it'd be cool to have some sort of, as you said, unbiased third party mm-hmm. synopsis of the discoveries. I'm sure they can do it anonymously and, you know, they better be able to. They're consultants. It's their job.
Yep. I have no other business.
Other business anywhere else? Great. Motion to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye. Hold on. Who made the move? Raj? I thought it was a tie. No?
It did sound like a tie.
Okay.
That's good stuff.
7:38.